The First Apologia by Justin Martyr. Part 6. Chapter 54. Origin of Heathen Mythology. But those who hand down the myths which the poets have made adduce no proof to the youths who learn them, and we proceed to demonstrate that they have been uttered by the influence of the wicked demons to deceive and lead astray the human race. For having heard it proclaimed through the prophets that the Christ was to come, and that the ungodly among men were to be punished by fire, they put forward many to be called sons of Jupiter, under the impression that they would be able to produce in men the idea that the things which were said with regard to Christ were mere marvelous tales, like the things which were said by the poets. And these things were said both among the Greeks and among all nations, where the demons heard the prophets foretelling that Christ would specially be believed in, but that in hearing what was said by the prophets, they did not accurately understand it, but imitated what was said of our Christ, like men who are in error, we will make plain. The prophet Moses, then, was, as we have already said, older than all writers, and by him, as we have also said before, it was thus predicted, "There shall not fail a prince from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until he come for whom it is reserved. And he shall be the desire of the Gentiles, binding his foal to the vine, washing his robe in the blood of the grape." The devils, accordingly, when they heard these prophetic words, said that Bacchus was the son of Jupiter, and gave out that he was the discoverer of the vine, and they number wine, or the ass, among his mysteries, and they taught that having been torn in pieces, he ascended into heaven. And because in the prophecy of Moses it had not been expressly intimated whether he who was to come was the Son of God, and whether he would, riding on the foal, remain on earth or ascend into heaven, and because the name of foal could mean either the foal of an ass or the foal of a horse, they, not knowing whether he who was foretold would bring the foal of an ass or of a horse as the sign of his coming, nor whether he was the Son of God, as we said above, or of man, gave out that Bellerophon, a man born of man, himself ascended to heaven on his horse Pegasus. And when they heard it said by the other prophet Isaiah that he should be born of a virgin, and by his own means ascend into heaven, they pretended that Perseus was spoken of. And when they knew what was said, as had been cited above in the prophecies written aforetime, strong as a giant to run his course, they said that Hercules was strong, and had journeyed over the whole earth. And when again they learned that it had been foretold that he should heal every sickness and raise the dead, they produced Aesculapius. Chapter 55. Symbols of the Cross. But in no instance, not even in any of those so-called sons of Jupiter, did they imitate the being crucified. For it was not understood by them, all the things said of it having been put symbolically. And this, as the prophet foretold, is the greatest symbol of his power and role, as is also proved by the things which fall under our observation. For consider all the things in the world, whether without this form they could be administered or have any community. For the sea is not traversed, except that trophy which is called a sail abides safe in the ship. And the earth is not ploughed without it. Diggers and mechanics do not their work, except with tools which have this shape. And the human form differs from that of the irrational animals in nothing else than its being erect, and having the hands extended, and having on the face extending from the forehead what is called the nose, through which there is respiration for the living creature. And this also shows no other form than that of the cross. And so it was said by the prophet, "The breath before our face is the Lord Christ." And the power of this form is shown by your own symbols on what are called vexilla, banners, and trophies, with which all your state possessions are made, using these as the insignia of your power and government, even though you do so unwittingly. And with this form you consecrate the images of your emperors when they die, and you name them gods by inscriptions. Since, therefore, we have urged you both by reason and by an evident form, and to the utmost of our ability, we know that now we are blameless, even though you disbelieve, for our part is done and finished. Chapter 51. The demons still mislead men. But the evil spirits were not satisfied with saying, before Christ's appearance, that those who were said to be sons of Jupiter were born of him. But after he had appeared and been born among men, and when they learned how he had been foretold by the prophets, and knew that he should be believed in and looked for by every nation, they again, as was said above, put forward other men, the Samaritan Simon and Menander, who did many mighty works by magic, and deceived many, and still keep them deceived. For even among yourselves, as we said before, Simon was in the royal city Rome in the reign of Claudius Caesar, and so greatly astonished the sacred senate and people of the Romans that he was considered a god, and honored, like the others whom you honor as gods, with a statue. Wherefore we pray that the sacred senate and your people may, along with yourselves, be arbiters of this our memorial, in order that if anyone be entangled by that man's doctrines, he may learn the truth, and so be able to escape error. And as for the statue, if you please, destroy it. Chapter 52. And cause persecution. Nor can the devils persuade men that there will be no conflagration for the punishment of the wicked, as they were unable to effect that Christ should be hidden after he came. But this only can they effect, that they who live irrationally, and were brought up licentiously in wicked customs, and are prejudiced in their own opinions, should kill and hate us, whom we not only do not hate, but as is proved, pity, and endeavor to lead to repentance. For we do not fear death, since it is acknowledged we must surely die, and there is nothing new, but all things continue the same in this administration of things. And if satiety overtakes those who enjoy even 1 year of these things, they ought to give heed to our doctrines, that they may live eternally free both from suffering and from want. But if they believe that there is nothing after death, but declare that those who die pass into insensibility, then they become our benefactors when they set us free from sufferings and necessities of this life, and prove themselves to be wicked and inhuman and bigoted. For they kill us with no intention of delivering us, but cut us off that we may be deprived of life and pleasure. Chapter 53. And raise up heretics. And as we said before, the devils put forward Marcion of Pontus, who is even now teaching men to deny that God is the maker of all things in heaven and earth, and that the Christ predicted by the prophets is his son, and preaches another God besides the creator of all, and likewise another son. And this man many have believed, as if he alone knew the truth, and laugh at us, though they have no proof of what they say, but are carried away irrationally as lambs by a wolf, and become the prey of atheistical doctrines and of devils. For they who are called devils attempt nothing else than to seduce men from the God who made them, and from Christ his first begotten. And those who are unable to raise themselves above the earth, they have riveted, and do now rivet, to things earthly, and to the works of their own hands. But those who devote themselves to the contemplation of things divine, they secretly beat back, and if they have not a wise sober-mindedness and a pure and passionless life, they drive them into godlessness. Chapter 59. Plato's Obligation to Moses. And that you may learn that it was from our teachers, we mean the account given through the prophets, that Plato borrowed his statement that God, having altered matter which was shapeless, made the world, hear the very words spoken through Moses, who, as above shown, was the first prophet, and of greater antiquity than the Greek writers, and through whom the spirit of prophecy signifying how and from what materials God at first formed the world, spake thus: In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was invisible and unfurnished, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved over the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And it was so. So that both Plato and they who agree with him, and we ourselves have learned, and you also can be convinced, that by the word of God the whole world was made out of the substance spoken of before by Moses, and that which the poets call Erebus, we know, was spoken of formerly by Moses. Chapter 60. Plato's Doctrine of the Cross. And the physiological discussion concerning the Son of God in the Timaeus of Plato, where he says, He placed him crosswise in the universe, he borrowed in like manner from Moses. For in the writings of Moses it is related how, at that time, when the Israelites went out of Egypt and were in the wilderness, they fell in with poisonous beasts, both vipers and asps, and every kind of serpent, which slew the people. And that Moses, by the inspiration and influence of God, took brass, and made it into the figure of a cross, and set it in the holy tabernacle, and said to the people, If ye look to this figure and believe, ye shall be saved thereby. And when this was done, it is recorded that the serpents died, and it is handed down that the people thus escaped death. Which things, Plato reading and not accurately understanding, and not apprehending that it was the figure of the cross, but taking it to be a placing crosswise, he said that the power next to the first God was placed crosswise in the universe. And as to his speaking of a third, he did this because he read, as we said above, that which was spoken by Moses, that the Spirit of God moved over the waters. For he gives the second place to the Logos which is with God, who he said was placed crosswise in the universe, and the third place to the Spirit, who was said to be born upon the water, saying, And the third around the third. And hear how the spirit of prophecy signified through Moses that there should be a conflagration. He spoke thus, Everlasting fire shall descend, and shall devour to the pit beneath. It is not, then, that we hold the same opinions as others, but that all speak in imitation of ours. Among us these things can be heard and learned from persons who do not even know the forms of the letter, who are uneducated and barbarous in speech, though wise and believing in mind. Some, indeed, even maimed and deprived of eyesight. So that you may understand that these things are not the effect of human wisdom, but are uttered by the power of God. Chapter 61. Christian Baptism. I will also relate the manner in which we dedicated ourselves to God when we had been made new through Christ, lest, if we omit this, we seem to be unfair in the explanation we are making. As many as are persuaded and believe that what we teach and say is true, and undertake to be able to live accordingly, are instructed to pray and to entreat God with fasting for the remission of their sins that are past, we praying and fasting with them. Then they are brought by us where there is water, and are regenerated in the same manner in which we were ourselves regenerated. For in the name of God, the Father and Lord of the universe, and of our Savior Jesus Christ, and of the Holy Spirit, they then received the washing with water. For Christ also said, Except you be born again, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, that it is impossible for those who have once been born to enter into their mother's wombs is manifest to all. And how those who have sinned and repent shall escape their sins is declared by Esaias the prophet, as I wrote above. He thus speaks, Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from your souls. Learn to do well, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow, and come, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. And though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white like wool, and though they be as crimson, I will make them white as snow. But if you refuse and rebel, the sword shall devour you, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." And for this right we have learned from the apostles this reason. Since at our birth we were born without our own knowledge or choice, by our parents coming together, and were brought up in bad habits and wicked training, in order that we may not remain the children of necessity and of ignorance, but may become the children of choice and knowledge, and may obtain in the water the remission of sins formerly committed, there is pronounced over him who chooses to be born again, and has repented of his sins, the name of God the Father and Lord of the universe. He who leads to the lair the person that is to be washed, calling him by this name alone. For no one can utter the name of the ineffable God. And if anyone dare to say that there is a name, he raves with a hopeless madness. And this washing is called illumination, because they who learn these things are illuminated in their understandings. And in the name of Jesus Christ, who was crucified under Pontius Pilate, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, who through the prophets foretold all things about Jesus, he who is illuminated is washed. Chapter 52. Its Imitation by Demons. And the devils, indeed, having heard this washing published by the prophet, instigated those who enter their temples, and are about to approach them with libations and burnt offerings, also to sprinkle themselves. And they caused them also to wash themselves entirely, as they depart from the sacrifice, before they enter into the shrines in which their images are set. And the command, too, given by the priests to those who enter and worship in the temples, that they take off their shoes, the devils, learning what happened to the above-mentioned prophet Moses, have given in imitation of these things. For at that juncture, when Moses was ordered to go down into Egypt and lead out the people of the Israelites who were there, and while he was tending the flocks of his maternal uncle in the land of Arabia, our Christ conversed with him under the appearance of a fire from a bush, and said, "Put off thy shoes, and draw near and hear." And he, when he had put off his shoes and drawn near, heard that he was to go down into Egypt and lead out the people of the Israelites there. And he received mighty power from Christ, who spoke to him in the appearance of fire, and went down and led out the people, having done great and marvelous things, which, if you desire to know, you will learn them accurately from his writings.